Psalm 107. The book of Psalm 107. Psalm 107, I'm going to preach a message that's a little different. I started to save this. I've never preached on this particular thing, and I started to save this for God and country, but the Lord laid it on our hearts for today, and so I may preach it again, God and country. This may be a tryout. We'll see how it goes. Psalm 107 and verse number 23. We'll read two verses. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that You'd help us. Lord, get that to what You would have us to say. Lord, to help the people the most. Lord, there may be somebody in here that's sinking and need help, spiritual help. I pray, Lord, You'd help us today. All that's accomplished, we'll give You the thanks and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. One of the stories of Old Testament, or not Old Testament, but old time history, is the story of the sinking of the Titanic. I've found myself reading a lot of different things, a lot of different authors on this particular subject. And the Scripture calls us to remember and reflect on the past and to be able to learn from the past. 1,522 people died on that ship. 704 people were saved. This ship was 900 foot long, the longest of its day, the largest of its day. It had one first, second, and third class passengers. This thing sailed from England to New York, or that's where it was headed, and it weighed 50,000 tons. All of the who's who on Wall Street were there. The Astors, the Strausses, the Guggenheims, and the unsinkable Molly Brown. J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on this ship, but canceled at the last minute due to sickness. The morning of April the 14th in 1912, at 11:40 p.m., this ship struck an iceberg out in the North Atlantic. And in the next 2 hours and a half, about 2 hours and 40 minutes, this ship that was said to be unsinkable found itself on the bottom of the ocean. Before December the 9th meant so much to us, before September the 11th meant so much to us, April the 14th, 1912, was a night to remember. 102 years ago, on a Sunday, on this April the 14th, 1912, the greatest water disaster in history happened. The unsinkable did the unthinkable. 102 years later, it speaks from beneath of the waters. 2 miles of water is beneath or above this Titanic. It's not remembered for her size. It's not remembered for her splendor, but it is remembered for her significant symbolism of destruction. The Titanic, someone said, a well-known radio personality said, the Titanic is a sermon from start to finish. It was made by man's design. And if you get to thinking about it, the Titanic was made by man. Noah's Ark was built by God. Bob Ballard, the scientist who discovered the Titanic, went 2 miles below the ocean and said what began as a mere scientific exploration became as real and terrifying to me as though I had been on that ship myself. The same mistakes, the same assumptions that sank the Titanic will sink you spiritually as you go on your voyage of life. the same mistakes, the same assumptions that sunk the Titanic will sink the United States of America. If we do not change course, if we do not turn around, if we do not slow down, we will be at the bottom of the ocean just like the Titanic. Number one, the tragedy of unwarranted trust. 1912 was a time of great optimism. Every day seemed to be getting better and better and better. Nevermore had people been so prosperous. People were living longer, and they worshiped their money. Mark Twain coined it as the Gilded Age. They trusted in steel and iron, and there was plenty of it. Truths from the Titanic. This Titanic, 1912, 900 foot long, probably 2 football fields long, including the end zones. The greatest. There are larger ones today, but at that time, this was the largest. The big Titanic went down, and luxurious in that particular ship, there was dancing and there was ballrooms and the who's who of the Wall Street was there. And boy, the big orchestra that played. And they played the real ragtime songs. And everybody was happy and drinking and having a big time. And the party was on the sea. Boy, everybody was having a big time. It was referred to as the Wonder Ship. Its construction was massive. On both sides of the Atlantic, it was referred to as the Wonder Ship. It took 12,000 men more than 2 years to construct. It was almost 900 foot long, 4 city blocks, 11 stories high, 50,000 tons, and that was empty. The largest anchor that anchored this thing down was 15 tons. It was the fastest ship to sail the seven seas. 30,000 horsepower at 23 knots top speed. We've been on some cruises. I understand a lot of you have. But this was the elite of the day. The most extravagant cruise ship yet constructed. All the amenities were available. She had a heated swimming pool. The first kind in its vessel. A gymnasium. 2 barber shops. 2 libraries. A state-of-the-art medical center that included operating rooms fully staffed. Banquet halls and different things that they had on this particular ship. But one thing the Titanic owners failed to remember. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It cost. Its construction was massive. It cost a lot of money. If you were to build the Titanic today, it would cost $500 million today's money. Anybody was on board. The Millionaire's Special. As it was named. Several people were on this particular ship. The who's who. J.P. Morgan, who founded the construction, canceled due to sickness at the last minute. 11 of the wealthiest men in the world were on board. John Jacob Astor was the Ted Turner and the Donald Trump of his day. The second richest man in the world was on this ship. Benjamin Guggenheim, part owner of Macy's department store. Major Archibald, personal advisor to President Taft, was on this particular ship. Isidore Stratus on board, worth $95 million in a day when you could buy a Rolls Royce for $900. The Roths were on board. Dorothy Gibson was on board. It was said one passenger had 1 string of pearls, a necklace worth $250,000. White Star Lines president, multimillionaire J. Bruce Ismay, what came up with the idea for the Titanic. Riches were the ruin of many who refused to part with their possessions. Psalms 49 says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can be any means redeemed nor give to God a ransom." One thing that puzzled my mind was this ship, it claims and it mocks God. It mocks the very existence of God. People said the most famous quote that was ever said about this particular ship was, many people said, as they got on, they walked the planks to get on this ship, they asked some of the high-ups and the Titanic, and they said, "Is it true that this ship is unsinkable?" And they said, "Even God Himself can't sink the ship." They equated size with security, strength with success. Its very name was an arrogant attack on the Almighty God. The owners and builders named the ship after the Titans. The Titans in mythology was a race of people who thought they achieved power and greater than God Himself. He smote the strong, arrogant Titans with thunderbolts in mythology, and cast them in the lowest depths of hell. The captain of the Carpathia, another ship in the area, when he heard that what they were going to name it, he said, "Aren't we tempting God here?" Matthew 4 and 7 says, "It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." Captain Smith, the captain of the Titanic, says, "I cannot imagine any condition which would cause this ship to sink. I cannot conceive of any disaster happening to this vessel." This is what he said. He said, "This vessel could be cut in half, and each half would remain afloat indefinitely." I don't know if you know the history of the Titanic. That's just exactly what happened. It was cut in half. Even when the Titanic struck the iceberg, the crew and the passengers were confident that there was nothing to be afraid of. Oh, they kept on with their singing and their dancing and their drinking and their gambling and all the different things. Why? Because man still today is deceived into thinking that sin is a minor issue and it has little consequences. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." It is written, Psalm 118, "It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man." They trusted in riches. They trusted in their religion. No matter how sincere their belief was or how firm their conviction was and their ability, this ship let them down. Be sure you don't place your trust in the wrong thing this morning. It wasn't supposed to be able to sink. But in the end, that's just what she did. Sunk to the bottom of the ocean. The tragedy of unwarranted trust. Number two, the tragedy of unheeded warnings. On the night, Sunday, April the 14th, the temperature had dropped to nearly freezing. And the ocean was now completely calm and starting to freeze. One of the other ships just previously to that, called the Olympic, had set a record, crossed the North Atlantic and made a record. And the Titanic owner says, "We're going to beat that record tonight. You push it up." And he told the captain, Captain Smith, "You push it up to 23 knots as fast as it'll go, and we're going to beat that record." 12 times they were warned by Morse code to slow down. 12 different times. "Please slow down. Turn around. You're in icy, icy water. You're going to have to turn around. You're going the wrong way. You're headed for destruction." 12 different times. They finally, the last code that came in, because so many people were coming. They had this little office where you go in and you got your little Morse code, you pay a little money, and you send a message to your family members in New York. This is what time we're planning on coming in. You'd be there to pick us up. Da, da, da. And they were typing all their Morse code, this, that, and the other. And while they were, all these people, wealthy people, were paying to send a message to New York, there was messages coming in saying, slow down, turn around, turn around. And finally, the Morse code operator sent back a message, shut up, we're busy over here. Direct quote. I know some of you don't want your kids saying shut up. I'm just telling you, that's what they said. Shut up, shut up, we're busy here. You say, what's the significance of that? Some of you are saying that this very morning. Shut up, preacher, shut up, preacher. They don't preach that way anymore. You're supposed to preach love now. Shut up, we're busy. We got things to do. We got better things to do. Shut up, we don't want to hear what you've got to say. Hurry up and get done. We got a ball game or a football game to watch or whatever's playing now. Hurry up, shut up, and get done. That's what they told the Titanic over 12 times. You say, why 12 every time? Because the Lord is not slack concerning His promises to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They continued full speed ahead and stayed on course to beat the record crossing the Atlantic. 45 minutes before it hit, the USS California was struck by ice and radioed the Titanic and said, you need to avert course, change, and go the opposite direction. And they said, shut up. Shut up. We don't want to hear it. So many who hear the warnings of God refuse to heed it. Pharaoh heard the warnings of God. Judas heard the warnings of God and failed to heed those warnings. Young people, listen to me. It doesn't matter, make any difference what you think about this preacher or what you think about this church. But there's one thing you need to understand. You better heed the warnings. This country's going down the wrong way. It's fixing to hit an iceberg. No, correction, it's done hit the iceberg. And we're going down. You better know a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only lifeboat out of here. Its sinking was sudden. It was shocking. It was very, very sad. There were only 20 lifeboats. Many of you have been on cruises. You see those little lifeboats down the side. They only put 20 on the Titanic because the owner said, this ship is unsinkable. We only need these. And if we put any more up, it's going to hinder the view. These 20 lifeboats only held 65 people. And when they put people on these lifeboats, they only put them to 40% capacity. Some of them only had 20 people on them. Captain E.J. Smith held church services that morning, being on a Sunday. Over 2,200 people were on the Titanic. You with me? Had a church service on Sunday. 36 people attended. One of the last songs they sung as an invitation of that service was, let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Little did they know that very song that they sang in the morning service with 36 people was fixing to be a reality at 11:40 p.m. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. These people, when it hit, 11:40, hit that iceberg, a big iceberg. People continued to have fun, and they said, all this stuff to worry about. They were breaking off pieces of the iceberg and having snowball fights. They said, all this stuff to worry about. You say, oh, that's sad. Oh, what's sadder than that is we live in a country to where we've hit the iceberg and people are still playing, acting like nothing's wrong. And hallelujah. It's time that it's not a joke. It's not a joke. And the band played on. They played songs and uppity-up songs after the Titanic hit the iceberg. Many of them laughed and said, oh, this ship ain't going down. There's no way. It's unsinkable. God himself couldn't sink this ship. Many today are laughing at the old-time religion, old-time gospel, old-time Bible preaching. They laugh at us. They laugh at Holy Hills Baptist Church because we still preach heaven sweet and hell hot. And they're laughing and making snowball fights and having a big time when it's a very, very serious, serious nature. Someone asked a millionaire, John Jacob Astor, where's your life belt? He said, I didn't think I needed one. So many people standing before the judgment seat of Christ. I didn't think I was that bad. I didn't think I needed one. I didn't think it was that serious. All across America this morning, people are listening to preachers and refuse to heed the warning. This nation is political titans, and they're headed for a direct hit of the iceberg of the judgment of God if we don't repent of the love of money being the root of all evil. America has become the modern-day symbol of the modern-day Titanic. We've been labeled an unsinkable society with wealth and power. We've refused to heed the warning of the voice of God to change course. We're no longer one nation under God, and therefore, the only thing else to be is one nation gone under. Oh, yes, friend. You say, you think you ought to preach that with all these political people here? Yes. You say, you're not afraid? No. Not a word about it one bit. They can record it, send it to White House, courthouse, your house, wherever they want to send it. It don't matter what Osama says, Obama, or your mama. This is the truth. Amen. Our schools have become war zones. God has been kicked out and the guns have been brought in. Babies are being butchered every day. The Ten Commandments and prayer are forbidden. Gay marriage is upon us like leprosy. While the band plays on, we sink further and further and deeper in depravity. We're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. The tragedy of unwarranted trust. The tragedy of unheeded warning. But number three, the tragedy of unsent help. I don't know if you know this or not, but the USS California was only 10 miles away. Led by Captain Stanley Lord was his name. And this is what they did. 11:40 at night, or before that, before the Titanic hit the iceberg, the USS California, 10 miles away, turned off the radio, went to bed, and everybody was asleep when they heard the cries, something's wrong. I think the Bible says something like this in Romans 13. It is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us henceforth cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going the wrong way. We're fixing to hit an iceberg. Turn, turn, repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So many Christians sit by. They've cut the radio off and they've gone to bed while family and friends are perishing as we do nothing. Then there was J.B. Ismay. What they did was when they started getting real serious, and what happened was they hit this iceberg, and underneath that iceberg bounced up along that ship all the way down and opened that thing up like a can opener. The bottom of that ship had compartments in it, and all those compartments started filling up with water. And the front part of that ship, the bottom of it started filling up with water, and it starts to turn down. And as that thing starts filling up with water, and then it breaks in half, and the front half breaks off, and then the other half follows along with it. Before that all happened, they were getting people on lifeboats. They were getting people on lifeboats, and they said, women and children first. This fellow here, I read, J.B. Ismay. He went to his cabin and put on women's clothes and dressed himself up as a woman. Sounds like what they do today. But dressed himself up as a woman so he could get on that ship or that lifeboat. He survived and he lived the rest of his life shunned and shamed. A lot of good stories. A lot of good stories that happened that I don't have time to tell you. One of them was Ida and Ishidom Strauss. They were married for 55 years. He was the other part owner of Macy's department store. He took his wife, Ida, after 55 years, put her and gave her to the one of the stewards there, said, put her on that lifeboat. She turned around and said, where are you going? He said, I'm staying here. I'll die with the ship. She said, 55 years ago, we stood before the preacher and said, till death do us part. She gave her life jacket to someone else. She stepped off. Both of them went out on the deck, sat on one of the little park benches out there on the deck, and held each other close and tight as they went down for the last time. That's going down in dignity. That's going down. Why? Because now you're upset because you can't get along with your spouse. My friend, get over it and get some faithfulness about you and get what them people had. After 55 years of marriage, love one another. You used to love her. Find out what you loved about her back then. Renew that. Mow your own grass and it'll get greener. Hallelujah. Well, that wasn't in the notes. I know the circumstances. Sometimes you cannot heal. I understand that. But I'm talking about all this piddly-annly stuff and just, you know, well, she don't look like she did in the mornings like the day I married her. Well, no, she's not going to. But I don't like him. He picked his nose before he was dating. They used to sing songs, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. This song's like, throw out the lifeline. Ship ahoy. Some of those old songs. Why? Because the Christians of old realized our responsibility. Let me get down here to the close. There was one fella on this boat. I want to tell you about him real quick before I close. His name was John Harper. He was a Baptist preacher. John Harper. John Harper was on his way from Scotland. He's leaving Scotland, England, where this ship left from, and he's headed to New York. You know where he's going? He's going to the Moody Bible Church to start a revival meeting. They're looking at him as their next pastor. D.L. Moody has already died. A.C. Dixon had died, which was after D.L. Moody. And now John Harper's coming from Scotland to preach a revival to see if he could be the next pastor of the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, Illinois. John Harper, on that morning, or that night, 11:40, when it hit, he had his daughter with him. John Harper was a widow. Didn't have a wife. He had him and his 7-year-old daughter with him. Harper wasted no time. He got his daughter, Nina, up on the upper deck and told her, put her in a lifeboat. And she survived and married a good Christian man in Scotland and was raised up to be a good godly lady. But he put her on there and he stayed on that ship. Every ship, he went to every ship. And while they were loading people up, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He'd go to the next one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, maybe that doesn't do anything for you, but it sure does something for me. Knowing he would never see his daughter ever again. The last thing on his mind was telling people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. At the Senate hearings, this is what they found. A young man came to the floor to testify. And this was his testimony. Harper's final moments were recounted by a survivor after the disaster. He said this, a great quote, "I was drifting along on a piece of ship that night, trying to hold myself above the water. And all of a sudden, here come Mr. Harper floating by. He looked at me and said, are you saved? Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, sir, I sure am not." He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He said, "Harper, a wave come by and took him over, and he fell off whatever he was hanging on to in that frigid water, and he went down and never came back up." That man testified. He said, "That night, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am John Harper's last convert." And they rescued him and picked him up on one of the ships and took him on out. One of the news media there in Halifax, New York paper, when they put it on the front page, they had two columns. This is what it said. I wish I could have put it on the screen. The one column said, "The saved." The other column said, "The lost." My friend, that's just the way it is today. In this room right here, there's two columns. The saved, the lost. Which one are you going to be in? 11 millionaires went down. One of them had in his little box that he had $300,000 when they found him floating in the water. They picked him up. He had a box, a little wooden box, had $300,000 in the little box. Money won't buy your way to heaven. The band was playing, and they played a lot of different things. One of the songs that they played was "The Roast Beef of Old England." I tried to get a clip of it. I wanted to see how it went, but it was just one of those upbeat. And this is how they played. As soon as the Titanic hit that iceberg, the band. This band played while the elite were eating. They played and entertained people. And after that iceberg hit, the captain said, "Y'all play something upbeat, play something upbeat. Calm everybody's nerves." And that's when they started playing all the upbeat songs. About 5 minutes before the ship noses down and goes under, the band plays a different song. They play a different song. It seemed now that it was more serious than what they thought. It was really upbeat. This unsinkable ship is now going down for the last time. And the band's out on the deck trying their best to hold on as they play. This is a recording of the last song that was played. This is not actually what was happening on the Titanic. This is the last song that they played as the orchestra played "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Nearer to Thee. America, Holy Hills Baptist Church, man, woman, boy, or girl, while this song was playing and the nose was diving down, there were no first, second, third class citizens. Everybody was on the same plane. In this room, there are no first, second, third class citizens. When it comes down to going under, everybody's the same. Two columns. Saved. Lost. When it's all said and done, your $300,000 you got hid in a little box, that's all well and good. That's great. Won't do you any good. If you do not know the Savior, if you do not know Him as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand as this song plays, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." America, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Oh, how we need God. I think several folks ought to come to this altar. Pray for our church. Pray for our country. Pray for your family. We need to be dearer to God more now than ever before. As the band plays on, how serious is this to you? Dearer, my God, to thee. I cling. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. You pray for your family. Pray for our church. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Yes, pray for our leaders. I'm afraid our country has hit an iceberg. We do not realize the danger that's involved with the direction that we're heading. I pray. God would cause us to be nearer, nearer, nearer to Him than ever before. And people are praying. You still have time to come. Get light. And it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. I think America's going down the wrong way. And I know a lot of folks that I know, individually, families, are going the wrong way. And I pray they'd heed the warning. Heed the warning. You know, that ship was found, beautiful, beautiful ship, found at the bottom of the ocean. 102 years later, down there, only made one voyage, and it only didn't make all of that one, and went down. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be shipwrecked. I want to be serving the Lord. If this thing's going down, you say, that's a sad story. Oh, no. It's going down. I want to be like John Harper. You don't worry about him. You say, oh, that's so sad. Ah, he went under that water. And when he opened his eyes, he was in the presence of an almighty God. You don't worry about that. One fella, I didn't tell you about this. I know it's time to go. But one fella, he was a saved man. He was a steward. And one of those smokestacks, when that ship was going under, that water was going down in that smokestack and sucked him down in that smokestack. He was a saved man. And he knew it was his last. I mean, he was it. He's finished. And he hollered out. Y'all know what God's 911 number is, don't you? Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And about that time, that cold water hit that boiler and blew that thing plumb up. And blew him out, that steam blew him out of that shaft. And he landed right beside a lifeboat that still had room for one more. His was great. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, that was a sad song. No, no, no. We're getting sucked down that little shaft, that water's, and as soon as that cold water hits that boiler, blows out of here, the trumpet's going to sound. It's going to... Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I hope you're ready. Ready to meet the Lord if it's happened today. That's great. Several stories.